Brothers and sisters, the life of those, whether in the Bible or in the history, who are upright and faithful in their words and conduct, has provided a lesson to the later generations and been remembered by many. For example, Jung Mong-ju, an official from the Asian Korea University, had steadfast, rock-solid loyalty towards his king. Whoever hears of his story has been deeply moved by his truthful and upright heart. He was a politician, a diplomat, a scholar, and an outstanding poet. Moreover, with his virtuous character, he earned respect from people. When the Goryeo dynasty was on the verge of collapse, people who engaged in the rebellion persistently tempted him to join them. Recognizing his value, they made every effort to win him over to their side. Having him on their side could mean winning the hearts of people. This is why Jung Mong-ju meant a lot to these people. To see whether Jung Mong-ju had any intention to participate in the rebellion and set up a new kingdom, one of those on the rebellion side recited the following famous poem before him. It goes like this. What shall it be, this or that? The walls behind the temple of the city's deity has fallen. Shall it be this? Or if we survive together nonetheless, shall it be that? This poem, the poem mentioned this plant, the branches and roots are tangled together as they grow. So this person tempted Jung Mong-ju to be entangled and survive together. This way he tempted him. Yet the official rejected the temptation and responded with another famous poem, which said like, even though I die 100 times, how can my passion for him ever fade away? He resolutely demonstrated his heart, saying that even if he died 100 times, his loyalty for the dynasty wouldn't waver. Confirming that nothing could change his mind, he ended up killing Jung Mong-ju. This upright official chose to face a righteous death rather than to join the unrighteous, to the point where he gave up his own life. He remained steadfast and unwavering in his loyalty for his country and the king. Brothers and sisters, the king he served was neither God the Creator nor the one who forgave him his sins, nor did the king offer him life and lead him onto the way of eternal life. Nevertheless, Jung Mong-ju had such an upright heart with which he wanted to defend the king at the risk of his own life and never changed his mind. As a result, even to this day, he has been widely recognized as a faithful official who fulfilled his duties in such a hopeless and desperate situation. From the Bible, we can also learn a lot of lessons about uprightness and integrity. For example, there are three mighty men appearing in 2 Samuel 23. It was when David was fighting the Philistines encamped in Bethlehem. Feeling extremely thirsty, David said, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. As soon as the three mighty men heard this, they dashed through the enemy camp and drew water from the well. How do you think David felt as he saw the water? He couldn't drink the water brought at the risk of their life. Instead, he poured it before God. Even though David didn't drink it, being with those who risked their own lives on account of his word, he must have been encouraged. As we can see, David had a lot of friends who didn't spare their life, but loved him and kept him company all through his hardships and trials. Brothers and sisters, at the moment, Mamin is in need of such righteous and upright people like Jung Mong Chu and the three mighty men who would protect the church at the risk of their life without wavering or change of heart. As today's passage reminds us, for the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness, the upright will behold His face. Being upright serves as a crucial factor in our achieving a righteous heart. Today, we will delve into the meaning of uprightness and talk about two ways for us to become upright people. This message is based on Senior Pastor's previous sermon. It is from his Proverbs series. The dictionary defines upright as being erect or vertical, as in position or posture. But in a spiritual sense, to be upright is to go straight down the right path. In other words, it is to keep the Word of God in mind and act accordingly. To become such an upright man, first we need to admit our faults and repent. First, let's watch this video. On a white sheet of paper, a dark spot is easily seen, no matter how tiny that is. But on a dark sheet of paper, a dark spot is hardly to be seen, no matter how big that is. Likewise, people with a pure heart consider their trivial fault big, so they bitterly weep in repentance as if they had committed a sin that deserves death. However, a person with a dark heart, bearing a lot of untruth, has no regret even after he commits a huge fault. Even after he does something obviously wrong, he doesn't admit it or repent of it. Rather, he wants to get away with it. Like this, depending on how much good we have in our heart, the degree of our regret and repentance is different. Even after we do something obviously wrong, if we refuse to admit our fault or for fear of rebuke or scolding, we cannot make spiritual growth. Neither can we improve ourselves in our life. We could even create a wall standing between God and us. Therefore, we should honestly admit our fault and repent of it rather than feeling ashamed and covering it up. Brothers and sisters, we may make mistakes or do wrong in our life. But the important thing is, according to how we deal with our mistakes or wrongdoing, we have a different outcome. For example, after a child commits a fault, if we immediately notify his parents of it and asks for forgiveness, the parents would feel proud of their child confessing his fault and feel like forgiving him rather than scolding him. But how heartbroken would they feel if their child covers up their fault to the end? I have seen such a case as well. There were two children, and their mother punished them and asked them to confess their faults. But some children confess their faults because they are afraid of being punished. So they confess their faults out of their fear. But there are other children who refuse to confess their fault, they keep their mouth shut. And their parents ask them to confess their faults. Nevertheless, they stay silent. And parents harbor ill feelings about this. And then they speak something they shouldn't speak as a Christian. And you, because of your persistence, because of your stubbornness, you are punished. You are even more punished because of your stubbornness. I'm not asking you to confess your fault to punish you, but it is out of my heart of love to. The same goes for Father God. Before Father God, who is the light, even the slightest bit of darkness could not be hidden. So anyone who has even a bit of darkness cannot say he is sinless. But because our God is trustworthy and righteous, if we confess our sins on our own before Him, He would forgive and cleanse us. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even God, when He punishes us, He is heartbroken. If one of His children get diseased because of his faults or gets involved in an accident, Father God is heartbroken to see His own children suffering. That's why He wants us to repent and turn from our ways before we get involved in any that kind of disaster. Once our sins are forgiven, He blesses us abundantly. Therefore, after we commit a fault, we should honestly admit it and repent of it, rather than being afraid of rebuke or scolding. Moreover, we should bear responsibility and willingly endure its retributions. Only then can we change ourselves in truth, grow our faith. In doing so, we can be called a man of great vessel and an upright man. David set a good example of this. After taking Bathsheba, he killed her husband Uriah. Upon hearing a rebuke from a prophet, he admitted his fault right away, turned from his ways, and willingly endured its retributions. Psalm chapter 51 well describes with what kind of heart David repented, how he rendered his heart in repentance. He said, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. He figured out God's heart and confessed as follows, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He asked God to wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse him. Against you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Saying so, David repented from his heart. He even admitted that he had been a sinner since he was conceived. He said in verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We can see how completely he laid himself down in repentance, even as a king. So, even as a king, he confessed his faults and sins before God. He even confessed that he had been a sinner since before he was born. So Father God must have been so moved. to hear that. So, whether we, no matter how great our sin is, if we confess them before God, God will pay us back with great blessings. But what about Saul? He didn't even acknowledge his fault. Thereafter, he piled up evil, finally ending up on the path to destruction. Ananias and Sapphira, who tried to deceive the Holy Spirit, denied the fault Peter pointed out. Immediately, their souls left them, which means they went to hell. We've so far examined cases in which people faced a different outcome depending on how they responded to rebuke or pointing out of their faults. David honestly admitted his fault, repented, and willingly endured its retribution. As a result, David became a man after God's heart and received the blessing of eternal life. But Saul, who committed more evil without admitting his faults, and Ananias and Sapphira, who tried to deceive the man of God, ended up in eternal punishment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14 reminds us that God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Whether we do good or evil, we will be surely judged for our action. Keeping this in mind, you and I should become the ones who honestly admitted our fault, repent, and receive the blessing of eternal life, not punishment. Brothers and sisters, in addition to admitting our fault and repenting of it, it is also important to endure its corresponding retributions or trials. While going through them, we have to make sure to believe in God's love. When David got his faults pointed out, he repented and was willing to endure its retributions. It's because David figured out Father God's heart. God chose David, seeing his innermost being. It wasn't because he was perfect from the beginning. God refined him through many trials so that he could become come forth as the one who had no blemish. Understanding and believing in God's love, David expressed his thankfulness and joy through songs of praise even while going through harsh trials. It should be the same with us until our heart becomes perfect. God didn't call us because we were perfect and outstanding from the beginning. Despite our shortcomings, He had expected for our change and poured out His love. Understanding in such heart of God, we always have to be found truthful before God. Once we commit wrongdoing, we have to confess it and try to from our ways. Once we only then can we change and improve ourselves day in and day out. As we continually pile up deeds of truth before God, we can eventually become an upright man, having nothing to be condemned before God. We gain spiritual confidence. I pray that all of us will become confident, truthful, and upright men who don't cover up our fault for fear of rebuke, but admit it, fix our behaviors, and bear responsibility. I pray that all of you will become such ones. To become an upright man, second, we should be able to discern between good and evil and choose good. Every moment of our life, we choose between good and evil, spirit and flesh. What choice we make determines whether we enjoy happiness in life and ultimately whether we face eternal life or eternal punishment. Once we have discerned what is good, what is spirit, we shouldn't be afraid of doing it. Being upright is boldly doing what is good and what is spirit. An upright man wouldn't hesitate to walk the right path, fearing for the difficulties that will follow. Of course, for us to do so, we should first be able to clearly discern between light and wrong, good and evil, and spirit and flesh. It is critical that we correctly discern between right and wrong. But with this world filled with sins and evil nowadays, people's value systems have been perverted, broken. So some people see evil as good and unrighteousness as righteousness. At such a time as this, we need to have right discernment and make a right choice. From now on, let us take a look at two biblical figures who lived in the same time and served the same king. We will examine the outcome of their choosing good or evil. Hopefully, you will learn to have right discernment and make a right choice from their example. In 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 19, we find the incident of Absalom's rebellion. With an ambition to become a king, David's son Absalom secretly laid the groundwork to turn the people's hearts from his father to him. When his appointed day arrived, he dispatched spies to all the tribes and instructed them to approve of his becoming the king. He then invited 200 significant officials who were assisting David. As a result of granting his invitation, they were taken hostage. Realizing what was going on, before Absalom arrived, David escaped Jerusalem alongside his remaining officials and went into exile. In that situation, there appeared two persons, Ahithophel and Hushai. They had many similarities. Both lived in the same time and served the same king. As David's counselors, they were assigned the same kind of duty and helped them. However, as David was in trouble, each of them made a different choice. People say that whether a person is our true friend becomes obvious in times of a crisis. One ended up betraying him, while the other served as his spy. He was used as an instrument to accomplish father's great providence. First, let's take a look at Ahithophel, who appears from 2 Samuel 15 onward. He was originally David's counselor. His counselor was so outstanding that it was considered to be like the answers from God. One day, Ahithophel saw David's son Absalom rising up in rebellion. As he saw what was going on, all the authority seemingly transferred from David to Absalom. And David ran away in bare feet to save his life. David must have looked so helpless and miserable. Whose side do you think this wise man, Ahithophel, decided to stand on? Whose side do you think he decided to be on? Regrettably, he chose Absalom. Being on his side was likely to give him authority, riches, and fame. Out in the world, people say that we should stand in line for a right person. But for children of God, we have to know that it's not the truth. It is out of a crafty heart. It is not way of a righteous man. But, you know, if Ahithophel had been a truly wise and honest person in a spiritual sense, even if he had to die and lose all his wealth and authority, he wouldn't have betrayed David. even if God had forsaken David, he wouldn't have turned his back on him ever. Jonathan knew that God had forsaken Saul, yet he didn't hate, forsake, or deal with his father in evil. Being good-hearted, Jonathan tried his best to turn Saul from his evil ways, doing his duties as a son to the end. You have to know, this is goodness. Mommy members, through senior pastor, we have learned the levels of goodness and learned the levels of love. Jonathan, even though his father was evil, Jonathan continued to do good towards his father. I hope we have an awakening from this case and carry on doing goodness. But this wasn't the case with Ahithophel. When Absalom rebelled, he betrayed David and took sides with him. He even notified Absalom of a scheme to kill David. Brothers and sisters, is the choice Ahithophel made good or evil? He betrayed a king he served and even attempted to have him killed. Later on, we will talk about what kind of outcome he faced as a result of choosing evil. The strategy that Ahithophel presented to Absalom was to end the situation quickly. You know, David was running away in bare feet. Moreover, he had no housing, no food, and his officials and generals were in total confusion. So Ahithophel suggested that they promptly, quickly find David and kill him while he and all his followers were scatter-minded and tired out. But Absalom also sought counsel from Hushai, who was pretending to be on his side to help David, actually. When Hushai heard about Ahithophel's counsel, he must have been surprised. It was because if Ahithophel's strategy would be chosen, David and his followers could all die. That's why Hushai presented the king, presented Absalom with the opposite plan, saying, "Your Majesty, Ahithophel's idea doesn't look like a good one. As you know, your father David is such a brave man, and his generals are experienced veterans. They are really mad at the moment, like a bear, like a wild beast whose offspring have been taken away. And David is knowledgeable about the battle tactics, so it wouldn't be easy to find his hideout. We shouldn't underestimate David and his soldiers. We have to let this known to the entire nation, raise an army, and destroy all his followers as well as David himself." Hushai spoke as if he was helping Absalom, but actually he was on David's side. That's why he was presenting a fake strategy to save David. He came up with this to save time for David to run away. Brothers and sisters, as we find in the Bible, when Absalom and the elders of Israel heard Ahithophel's strategy, all of them considered it good. But much to our surprise, Absalom decided to choose Hushai's. This happened by God's work. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 14, "Then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, 'The counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord has ordained to thwart the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Lord might bring calamity on Absalom.'" At first, all the officials considered Ahithophel's plan as good. But Father God caused their hearts, caused their minds to change and consider Hushai's plan to be better. The Bible informs us that God had Absalom adopt Hushai's plan instead of Ahithophel's to bring calamity upon him. The lesson we can learn from this is that God stands up for the good. God directly intervened in the situation to save David. We can say that David was a good one, beloved by God. But Ahithophel turned his back on David for his benefit. On top of that, he even plotted a scheme to destroy the king who he once served. This was unacceptable betrayal and great evil. So what happened as a result? As Ahithophel saw that Hushai's fake strategy was accepted by the king, he figured that Absalom was on the way to destruction. He figured that God was on Absalom's side. He predicted that he would face the same fate along with Absalom. Rather than waiting for the upcoming disaster, he chose to commit suicide by hanging himself in his hometown. Brothers and sisters, here we can confirm how miserable the outcome his evil was. But what about Hushai? Because David was on the run, accompanying David was like volunteering to suffer, not knowing when to die. Nevertheless, he chose to stand with David to the end. As a result of pursuing righteousness and goodness, he saved the lives of David and his companions. Through this, David could retrieve his throne and let his kingdom continue. And out of David's genealogy, Jesus was born. And through Jesus, we could call him Father. Here, as I prepared this sermon, I thought I have to appreciate Hushai's goodness. When good and evil is obviously discerned, to boldly pursue good is the way of an upright man. David was a good king and a good man. He was a man whom God was with. No doubt we have to keep company with those who have the evidence of God's being with them. This is the way of good, righteous, and upright men, and also the way of eternal life and blessing. Brothers and sisters, I want you to remind yourself of all the evidences of God's being with Manmin. I want you to recall briefly the first day you came to church. While going through this trial, I think a lot about Father God, who is goodness and love itself. I want to feel His heart. I'm overwhelmed with longing for heaven where there's no sorrow, grief, or agony. And where Father God is. I'm consumed by longing for heaven. I often call Father, Father, without me knowing it. As I see clouds and everything in the nature, as I see birds and animals, they are so obedient. But why are human beings like this? Father God, human beings are so frightening. And Lord, when do you come back? Excuse me, but with making those confessions, I shed tears a lot. And as I do so, the memories of those days when I came to this church come flooding back. I was so overwhelmed by Father God's grace. Back when I was a novice believer, I was nicknamed a crybaby. Thinking of Father God's love of giving us His only begotten Son, and as I saw people who are not saved, I had pity on them and shed a lot of tears. As I remember those moments, I calm myself down and I confess like this: Father God, I will obey you. So to describe everything I experienced back when I was a novice believer, I think we will be running out of time. So I think you also have such precious memories. Some of you have been in this church for 5 years or 10 years, while others for over 20 or 30 years. I believe each of you have experienced God's grace. Some of you had suffered from diseases which couldn't be cured by medicine, but received healing here at this church. Others had suffered from spiritual thirst, which couldn't be quenched while moving from church to church for many years. While they were praying for a true shepherd and a church of life, they saw senior pastor in their dream and came to this church. We've heard such testimonies. Still others came across senior pastor's sermons through books or newsletters and tearfully confessed that this is the church of life. We remember many people saying so. Excuse me. Taking pride in this church of life, the words of life, and the shepherd of life. We fasted and prayed fervently with a resolution to enter New Jerusalem. Aren't you happy to remember the thrills and grace of these precious moments? Doesn't this wet your eyes with tears? And we have been happily running our race, fixing our eyes on Father God and our Lord. I believe all of you seated here now have been running without wavering. And here at this church, we overflow with evidences of God's being with us. Brothers and sisters, in Senior Pastor's Genesis lecture, do you remember how many sessions elaborated on the details about the world before time began? A total of 21 sessions. It took 21 sessions to clarify Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 alone. And where else could we hear messages on the afterlife, heaven and hell, spirit, soul, and body, and spaces and dimensions. Those matrices are amazing and mysterious. Also, the words pointing out our sins and sharing the ways to cast them off are permitted by God Himself. God Himself. Even outstanding scientists, intellects, or renowned novelists cannot make up or create such words. How could they create or make up such messages by researching or meditation? Without the revelations from God who is in the fourth dimensional world, no one can share such words. Ever. No one can ever. But for senior pastor, through numerous times of fasting and prayer, and through his prayer, he received revelations from God and preached many sermon series. We cherish these messages. And most of all, we've seen, heard about, and experienced boundless, limitless works of God's power. Let's give thanks and glory to Father God. Even at the moment, healings, signs, and works of God's power are taking place without ceasing all over the world. Just by seeing numerous works which are never possible without God, we can confirm that God is with this church and ensures and guarantees senior pastor. We know that the words of life brought down from God and the boundless works of power are true, and no one can deny them. God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, has remained the same since the founding of this church. Brothers and sisters, in our Christian life, our view should be based on the Word of God only. Namely, we have to live our life having only the Word of God as our standard. We don't attend church to win someone's recognition or to be seen as good by others. Senior pastor has continually emphasized that we keep close to the Word of God so that we can love God, who is the Word itself. First, starting from 2000, he has had daily Bible verses carried in the weekly bulletin and earnestly pleaded with us to live in God's will. He has called on us to live by His will. He emphasized that we should first know the Word of God so that we can live accordingly. Only when we live our Christian life with the words of truth as our standard can we keep ourselves from wavering by our circumstances or by men. We obtain power to discern spiritually. As I keep close to the Word of God in obedience, as I provide counseling to church members, and also while I go through this time of blessing, I can find solutions from the words which I've armed myself with. You know, why Lucifer ended up betraying God, why, as I hold on to the word in prayer, as we hold on to prayer with those words of God, we don't even need counseling. Even while go through this time of blessing, I feel at peace, and I'm also filled with expectations. After this trial is over, the blessings would come, beyond our expectation. And then, let's give glory to Father God. So, I make a resolution to quickly achieve the kind of heart Father God wants, a heart with, which is filled with good and love. And I also urge you to read the Bible and memorize the verses and find solutions from the words that you arm yourself with. Brothers and sisters, more than any other time, we should be able to discern things spiritually. We've seen cases where people who were once faithful and filled with the Spirit begin to love the world at some point and take a break from praying. After a year or two, they walk away from the love of God. Throughout over 30 years of my time here at Manmin, I've seen such cases a lot. And Jesus, the last thing he did before he was crucified was to pray at Gethsemane. And he urged his disciples to keep on, be on alert and pray so that they may not enter into temptation. We have to be aware that all of us are not perfect and in the process of being cultivated, and that we can become degenerate anytime. So, what kind of life should we live? I urge you to always speak, listen, think, and act as if you were before God. Rather than looking to people, we should have God's perfect word as our standard and clearly discern between right and wrong. No matter what people say, we have to only follow the word of God. And then Father God will guarantee you and lead you onto the way of blessing. No matter the circumstance, even if we may face difficulties, if the way we walk is right, we have to keep going that way. All Mommy members worshiping here, having running a good race according to the word, standing firm in faith. Let's encourage one another saying, you are so precious. You've been running well. Amen. If senior pastor were here with us, he would say, I think, beloved Manmin members, thank you for running all the way. Thank you. Amen. Excuse me. Brothers and sisters, remembering what Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Remembering that verse, we should boldly choose good. Therefore, when we find our friends, neighbors, or parents on the wrong path, as a righteous and an upright man, we should advise them to go the right path. But if we get carried away by physical affection and join our family or colleagues in doing evil, we end up on the way to destruction. The result is obvious. As I told you earlier, no matter our circumstance, we should not become like Ahithophel and collaborate with those who plot evil, thereby suffering loss or harm. Like Hushai, we should be with those who are upright and act in truth and pursue good, thereby living in God's love and blessings. I pray that all of you take this trial of blessing as an opportunity, change into upright men, and pursue righteousness even at the risk of your life, and finally, enjoy glory. It's time to conclude this message. Brothers and sisters, to become an upright man, first we have to admit our faults and repent. Second, we have to discern between good and evil and choose good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. The blessing prepared by God is so great that it always transcends man's thoughts. God is the one who can tremendously bless us in an unexpected time and in a way beyond our imagination. He is our Father God. Back in the 1998 and 1999 trial, no one could ever imagine we would mightily accomplish the world mission like we've done to this day. But God has ably fulfilled and accomplished it. Back in 1999, after the trial was over, and like in 2000, when our church members took a taxi, and Mamin Church is close to its end. But despite what people said back in those times, Father God saved Mamin Church and has been glorified through this church. For the last 37 years, there have been times Mamin suffered unfair situations and was seemingly close to its end. But as Mamin pursued the right path and stayed upright, God made Mamin and Senior Pastor known in all of the world and tremendously blessed us to give glory to Him. All of us bear witness to this, don't we? Because God is with those who pursue the truth and the right path, a marvelous blessing beyond man's imagination is prepared for them. Thus, I urge all of you to keep marching forward, looking to the blessings prepared for Mamin and Senior Pastor. Keeping our faith, we shouldn't cease to run our race for God's kingdom and His righteousness. We have to pray all the more fervently and work. We have to devote ourselves to prayer all the more and work all the more faithfully, cherishing our God-given duties. We have to become righteous and upright ones like Chung Mong-chu and David, three mighty men who chose to stand with the king at the risk of their lives. And we have to defend the church like Hushai defended David. We have to become such spiritual warriors. As a psalmist confesses in Psalm chapter 11, verse 7, "For the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness. The upright will behold His face." All of us, Mamin members, should become upright ones and be qualified to see the face of God illuminating like the sun in heaven. I pray that all of you become citizens of New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.